Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rats 100. How are we today? I hope everybody had a nice week, a nice day celebrating the slave master's independence. You got to always remember your ancestors, our black ancestors, were slaves when our competition did their independence against Britain. And remember, the only reason why they went for independence is because Britain was cutting out slavery, and the colonists of America thought they was next, so they split for Britain to keep the slaves. So whenever you celebrate the 4th of July, you're only celebrating the keeping of slaves. So enough about that. I hope y'all enjoyed yourself. We celebrate Juneteenth. We got to do a better job at it next year. A lot of places celebrated Juneteenth this year too. I was proud of every black person that went to a Juneteenth celebration, to every black person that threw a Juneteenth celebration. I want to give shouts out to all of y'all. How y'all been, man? I hope y'all calling in, listening to me. Have you went to the Nets 100 and became part of that? You can go to the Nets 100 on Facebook. The Nets being spelled NST. Not NEST, but NST. And join the page so you can hear everything that's going on immediately. You can go to the Nets 100 on YouTube, subscribe to YouTube, so you can get everything I do even when it's not Wednesday. Any videos I put up, anything I'm talking about, anything important to us, I will give you my thoughts about it. And it will be on the YouTube at the Nets 100. Voting is important right now, man. I can't really stress how important voting is at the moment, but it's voting is really important right now, man. We didn't vote in 2010. The Tea Party came in, and 2010 was a midterm vote. Midterm is more important than the presidency. We didn't vote in 2014. We got more Tea Party members in, more white supremacists in the Congress and then the House of Representatives all throughout the states and in the federal government. 2016, we came out and vote, but because of the voting laws they put down from 2008 to 2014, a lot of people got pushed off the voting register and couldn't vote. There was people going and couldn't vote. Pennsylvania cut over 1 million people off their voting registration, and most of those people was minorities. The majority was minorities, and that happened all over the United States, and it's because black people will not vote during the mid-season. Barack Obama, he was a cool president, but he didn't come from a black neighborhood. He came from a white neighborhood. He was raised around white people all his life. If you read his book, which I have read, he told you in his book he didn't know it was a black and white struggle until he got to college. So, of course, when he became president, he didn't know that black people didn't vote during midterm election, so he didn't use the bully pit to tell us to come out and vote to get him power in the Senate and in the House of Legislation. We have to think better than this. This November, this is crucial. This is more crucial than any other vote. Because if we don't go out and vote and we have another wave of Republicans getting in the office, it's something ain't going to be right for black people, and I promise you that. Because ain't no Republican that's getting elected looking to help black people. And for everybody who wanted to have that Democrat and Republican fight, have that fight all you want, man. If you don't know what a Dixiecrat is, don't speak to me about a Republican and a Democrat is the same. Because if you don't know what a Dixiecrat is and what went on during the civil rights movement and politics, then you really don't understand the switch. They hit you with the switch. And we ain't about to start our own political party because ain't the poor white people ain't gonna follow no other party than Democrats and Republicans. What we need to do as black politicians is stop fighting the white fight. Stop fighting what our competitors say, this is how you get elected, and start getting our own message. And part of our own message is letting separating poor white people from white people. You say, well, Lincoln, somebody say, Lincoln, how you do that?
Lincoln, how you do that?
Thank you for asking me that question. This is how you do that. When you speak as a politician, you always, if you notice, all politicians tell you who they're voting for. They always say, I represent white people. They always say white first. I represent white people, Hispanics, Mexicans, blacks, and all minorities. That's what they say, right? And sometimes they just say all minorities in African American. They lump all the minorities into one bit. But understand what a minority is before I go forward to let you understand this. A minority is anybody handicapped, a poor white man, a woman, all the different races, meaning all Asians, Hispanics, Mexicans, all of them are considered minorities too. So when you hear the word minority, they're not just talking about us. Always remember that. And the law said you got to have a 10%, at least 10% of minorities working in your business. That don't mean you got to have 10% of black people working in your business. That just means you have to have 10% of minorities working in your business. Back to politics. Now, as a politician, I would always, as a black politician, my message would always be, I represent black people, white people, Mexicans, Hispanics, poor white people, and all minorities. I'm going to say that again so that maybe you get it. I represent black people, white people, Hispanics, Mexicans, poor white people, and all minorities. Now, you see what I just did? I just separated white people from poor white people. You ain't see that? Well, I'm going to say it one more time for you. I represent black people, white people, Mexicans, Hispanics, and poor white people, and all minorities. You see that? When you divide them the way they've divided us, that gives you a little push. Now poor white people, they know. White people know when they're poor. And when they hear poor white people, they listen a little bit more. They want to hear what you got to say. What you going to say to represent me? That's how you switch the game and deliver your own message as a black politician. You can't keep chasing the message. Remember, the message is black people shouldn't say the word nigger. Right? But I told you that in the past 3 weeks, of my show, I've told you the definition of the word nigger. And it don't mean slave. So if you're going to follow the same message, oh, don't call me a nigger, that's because you don't want me to call you a boss. You don't want me to call you a queen. You don't want me to call you a king. You don't want me to call you a CEO. You don't want me to call you a leader because you're going with you're going with the wrong message. You're going with the message of your competitor, and his message will always be to downgrade you. Dr. Umar, I saw this post today with Dr. Umar. He was explaining what happened after the civil rights movement, after the height of the civil rights movement, when we got the voting acts passed and all that. And I was talking to some people about it, right? And all they kept telling me is, oh, Dr. Umar this, and I don't like him because of this. And they was telling me what our competitors' message about Dr. Umar had been pushed to us. And I'm thinking to myself, so I asked him, I say, but did you listen to what he was saying? I don't, you know, you can't tell me about his flaws because every white person we ever vote for has flaws. So don't tell me about his flaws. Because if you don't care about your competitor's flaws and you're wrong with their message, don't tell me about a black man or a black woman's flaws, and that's the reason why you will not run with their message. Because his message is always on time. Always. Always. What he's exaggerated about himself, that's none of my concern because his message tells me what I need to do. It speaks to me and about me. His message was this. He said after the civil rights movements in the 70s, they came They took all the factories out, and they did do this. If you don't believe me, talk to your grandparents or your mothers and your fathers about it. They took all the factories out the ghetto, out the black neighborhood. So, you know, your youths can ride a bike, get a cab, you can jump on the bus, go get a job. They took that out with the school systems. You know what I'm saying? Towards the end of the 70s, and when Reagan came in office, they took out everything in the school system that would give you a skill, all the skill sets. You used to graduate from high school with a skill and get a job, and work, especially with your hands. They took all that out and pushed the college agenda. You see what I'm saying? It's a bunch of college people on their unemployment line. He write about that. Because sometimes working with your hands is the best way to get money. You see what I'm saying? A college person work with their brain, and sometimes you ain't going to really get in if you're black. You got to roll with black people sometimes when you leave college. You got to open up a black business in a black neighborhood, but they don't teach us that. But I'm getting away from the story. He said, and also in the 80s, they pushed the drugs. The drugs came through the 70s and 80s, right? That further messed up our financial system. You see what I'm saying? They told the black woman, if you want help from the government, the black man can't be in your house. That broke up the family. When you took the jobs out the black neighborhood, you took jobs from black men. So you took money out of our pockets. Remember, during the civil rights movement, black-owned businesses was over 60 to 70% of all the money that was used to push the civil rights movement. So if they can stop black people from opening up neighborhood businesses, if they can stop the black man and the black woman from being the family and using some of that family money into politics, then they can shut us down and out of politics. In the 90s, the Bill Clinton Initiative came in, locking a lot of us up. And the two, and don't forget the music. During the battle, after they killed the top few of our rap people who was really talking positive, all we got is this music we got in now. This drug, sex, wear a dress if you're a man type of music. Now, back in the 90s, there was a politician, I forgot his name, I was reading about it today. Man, I should have wrote it down. He said back in the 90s, he said, in 40 years, we can have black people slaves again. Now, I thought he said it in the 90s, but he really said this. It was a quote he had quoted in the 70s. And if you count the years, 40 years has been, and it's coming up in 2020. 40 years and came back. The slaves own less than 1% of anything in America during slavery. As a black people in America, we own less than 1% of everything in America. We slaves. We just pay for our own lodging, pay for our own clothes, but we slaves. They made us slaves again right underneath our nose. They making laws to allow white men in police uniforms to kill us and not go to jail. And you want to argue with me about what Dr. Umar talking about, and he only talking about uniting us and having us put our money together just like Dr. Boyce Watkins. Boyce Watkins taught the same thing. What's my other dude? He's an older guy. He got the blueprint for success. Hold on, I think I got the book with me. Let me unzip this book bag right quick. See what I got. What's his name? I forgot his name. Yeah, my man, Claude Anderson. He got the Powernomics. That's a nice book. But the first one was Black and White Wealth. That's a good book too. I love both of them books, man. This is what I'm saying when I say about black people. You would listen to a flawed white person and follow that person, but you would not listen to a flawed black person that speak the truth about what your competition has done to you, man. And voting is important. I'm so sick and tired of hearing black people debate the vote. You know how many black people got killed, got locked up, mauled by dogs, lost their jobs, just so you can vote? And you're going to sit up here and say your vote don't count? No, your vote count. If your vote didn't count, they wouldn't be trying to take it from you. Stupid. Yeah, I'm going to say stupid to any black person that even want to think about debating with me that your vote don't count. And then if you don't vote, you're teaching your child not to vote. So now you're teaching your child to follow your enemy's message to stop you from competing with your enemy. I mean, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, somebody, hey, if I'm too loud, hey, to my producer, if I'm too loud, turn the board down for me, man. Just turn the board down for me. Because this right here, this frustrates me to the death of me to hear black people say, I don't vote, my vote don't count. That's the most stupidest thing I have heard. History proves your vote count. History proved that. So why wouldn't you? Because it takes too long to wait in the line? Always remember, the people that made it so we can vote as easy as we vote today, they was getting beat up in the line. They was getting edge thrown at them while they waited to vote. They was getting rock thrown at them while they waited to vote. We just got the sun on us and maybe some rain. Ain't no, we don't got no competition coming throwing eggs at us while we vote no more, because our ancestors in the 60s, 70s, 50s, and 40s fought so that that wouldn't happen to us no more. We don't got to take a test to see if we're smart enough to vote no more, because our ancestors in the 60s, 50s, 40s, and 30s made sure that wouldn't happen to us no more. So for you to sit up and say you don't want to vote, you are a stupid person. And you have no consciousness of history that what's been done against you in America. And don't feel bad. Don't hang up the phone. Roll with me, black man. Roll with me. Because, see, always remember, I've always told you, if you can accept, am I talking too loud, big man? Producer, am I talking too loud? Let me lower my voice. If you can accept, if you can accept what your position in America, if you can accept it, you just have to accept it, black man. If you can accept it, you can move on to the next level and roll with me. But first you have to accept it, because once you accept it, you don't dwell on it no more. You know this is what it is, but this is what I can do to change it. How many people who've been listening to me for the last 4 weeks went and bought the Woodie Lynch letter and The Making of a Slave? That's the name of the book, $5 book. That's the blueprint. It's a 28-page book with big letters. You can't spend $5 on a drink, on some weed. You can't spend $5 on your brain. Then I guarantee you, buy the book, The Woody Lynch Letter, The Making of a Slave. Oh, my God. When you walk around the neighborhood, you see what's in the book happening. I'm telling you, you will talk to your wife or your girlfriend more differently when you read this book, because you understand why she thinks that way. I got another book, too. To me, I say both of these go hand in hand. It's called Melanin, What Makes Black People Black by Layla Africa. Her name is spelled L-L-A-I-L-A, Africa with a K, not a C. Oh, that Melanin book is deep. I'm going to tell you a story about that, then we're going to go to the phone calls and speak about this voting thing. I'm in the barbershop cutting hair. Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? A customer come in, we get to talking while he waiting for the other barber to show up. We get to talking. He a black guy. He was not a bishop, not a pastor. Well, what's some things, them people who, man, I forgot. I'm so excited, I forgot who he is. But usher. Is he an usher? A deacon. Ha ha, there we go. He was a deacon. So we got to talking, right? And I got my black Bible with me. I keep the black Bible with me. You know, the black Bible was written by James H. Warden, Jr., Complete Works of Blacks in the Bible. I start putting it on him, you know what I'm saying? Because to read the blacks in the Bible, you have to have the Holy Bible or the King James Bible next to you. They go hand in hand when you're studying this blacks in the Bible. They go hand in hand to give you a better study course when you preach to other people. So I'm telling him about the devil. I'm telling you about the devil. Now, remember, the devil is associated with 666, right? Now, what is the devil? The devil's in a hot place. Where do black people come from? A hot place. The devil is always in a dark, hot place. Black people are dark-skinned people who live in hot places. You know what I'm saying? The devil is always the man. Even to today, people pray to the devil because the devil is the man. Black people was being condemned, just like the devil was being condemed. You know, hey, you're doing something devilish, you better stop. You know, we always speak down about the devil. We speak down about black people. And you like, Lincoln, somebody asked me, Lincoln, I don't get it. explanation. I don't get it. Please explain it to me. Okay, you don't get it? I'm going to explain it to you. Now, the color of your black skin is 6 protons, 6 neutrons, 6 electrons. That's the color that make up the melanin in your skin. That's the chemical makeup of your skin. So are you the devil? Are you the devil? 5,000 years ago, somebody knew about this chemical makeup, and they start pushing that to scare other people against us, calling us heathens and things of that nature. See, so in my mind, there is no devil. It's people that do evil things, but there is no devil, because you associating the devil with 666, you're calling me and my people, my black people, a devil, and we are not devils. The more you educate yourself, the more you learn about yourself, the more you can break down the lies and the falsehoods that's been pushed throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our chases, and throughout our minds, our churches, and throughout our mind. We've been brainwashed. So when we hear the truth from somebody like Dr. Umar, we look for petty, just anything to make his truth into falseness, even though it's still the truth. And we get that from our competitor. Bash each other, praise him, and we're going to be okay. That has never happened in the black neighborhood yet. And you don't believe me? Ask Detroit. They let that white boy Duggan in office. Oh, everybody, all the church people be like, oh, he's doing so good. Oh, he's doing so right. Look at downtown. He bringing so much money, but ain't none of that money black money. How many black people did Duggan give contracts to build neighborhoods? Huh? Or did he give it to white people and then stipulated that you had to have a certain percentage of black people work for you? Huh? They built neighborhoods in downtown Detroit, tore down neighborhoods and built them up. Was not one black company that was given a sole contract to build that and to tear it down and put it up. And what I mean by sole contract, I mean I give you a contract and it's up for you to go hire other people to help you build the neighborhood. Not one black person. They was given contracts to help. Look up the neighborhoods. You can ride through Detroit in the inner city neighborhoods. They will not give any black people contracts to tear down an entire neighborhood and build it back up, because Duggan is not in the city for you. And you voted for him. That's why I say it's people we cannot trust as black people. All of us ain't going to make it. But the ones that understand what I'm saying and see what I'm saying, we're going to group up and help everybody else. And we don't got to tell everybody we're doing it. We just have to do it like the Black Panthers did it. They just did it, and then people was like, who doing this? And then their names started coming up. This is important to unify, man, and we got to do it by all any means necessary, because if we don't, within the next 100 years, we'll be slaves, man. We'll be real slaves and not just paid slaves. We paid slaves now. You got to think about that. Vote. November, vote like you voting for Barack Obama in 2008. Every black person should show up in November and vote like they voting for Barack Obama, because I guarantee in November, every white racist person in America will show up and vote for a Republican. I guarantee it. Nah, we taking phone calls. Big man, do I got a call going right now?
413-727.
What's up, big man? Who I got on line?
Hey, it's Angels.
What's up, Angels?
Hi. I'm good.
How you doing today?
The show. I'm good. I'm having a good day. I'm enjoying the show. I'm so happy to be here. Many blessings to you and your family and all the listeners out there. Shout out to Blackout Radio. Shout out to you, E. Lincoln, on the next 100. I'm so happy to be here and show my support by calling in and listening to your show and just saying you got my support in any way in every way. I'm on the same page. And
what
I'm,
you gotta say about voting?
I'm so grateful that you were sharing the information with me, because it blows my mind, and it makes me even more mad about what's going on, but it makes me more focused on how to make it better. So thank you for, the vote. Definitely, everybody's got to get out and vote, and our vote counts. So make sure you get out there and do that. You know, I'm the kind of person where I call up the congressman and speak on behalf of, you know, the people, and it's all people. It's not, you know, white people. It's for the people that are oppressed and against all the injustice. So I say, you know, it's power in the people. We are the power, and we have the power, and that is your power. And you can also vote with your dollars, too, by not supporting those white institutions with your dollars. That's also another vote. You know, like, I've also been aware of the people that are in the industry and what they do, and I try, you know, to keep my vote in out of their pockets, and that's how we're going to do it, where I support, like, the mom and pops in, you know, in the 413 here in that are have their own businesses that are run by, you know, the Puerto Ricans and the Indians and the Japanese and the Chinese. And that's how I vote, with my dollar, too, not only just my vote, you know, every with the politicians and stuff like that. But, you know,
exactly. I like what you're saying about that. And she right. She right. You got to watch what you do with your money. And I'm going to tell you, like, hey, like I was just speaking about the deacon who I proved that the devil was us. He hasn't been back to the barbershop. He hasn't came back. He stopped coming, period. Because his thing was he couldn't imagine that somebody would lie to him all his life. And that's what he kept saying, that even through his haircut, he'll look over at me and be like, "Nah, man, that ain't true. They wouldn't just lie to me all my life." He didn't understand it. And I showed it to him in the book. And let him research it on Google. And it blew his mind to the point he didn't want to come back. And that's what I mean about knowledge of self. When you have knowledge of self, some things shock you. It was a shock to his system. It was a real shock to his system. And because, you know, he had a white wife, and he was living that life. And he never, ever thought that the life he was living was a lie. I want to thank you for calling. Make sure you send my link to people on your friend list, too, so they can call in and listen, and we all can get together and keep pushing the message. Because the message
Most
is
definitely.
Important. Once people get the message, then you can push the movement a little bit more. But people have to think a certain way. And to think a certain way, you got to talk to people that's just like you.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I shared your information you shared with me today. It's on my Facebook wall, so check that out, everybody. And Jules, you guys have a great night. Thank you so much, family. Peace. Salute.
Thank you. Be safe. That was
a nice
call. She called. Thank you. That's a nice caller. She calls every week because she up on game. She understands the struggle, and she on our side. You see what I'm saying? It's more of us than it is of them. But if we don't know how to unite everybody that think like us and that's in the same position we in, then we can't win. And we have to be in control of this message at all times. Big dog, we got another caller?
415-375. What's up, y'all? This is OMF. I'm from San Francisco, man. You know, I'm always supporting your show.
San Francisco?
Man. What's up, man? I'm just checking out your show, supporting your show, man. Man, you hit it right on the nose, man. You have another dope topic again for another week, educating our young people, educating our people out there on what the truth, not preaching, and the vote. I think about the vote like you said. I think about I just want to say one thing. I think about my people, what we went to jail for, and what we died for, and to see what we go to jail for and what we died for. And I think the message is clear. I don't think I have anything else to say. You know what I'm saying? That says it all. You know what I'm saying? We going to jail for some drugs, like you said. We going to jail behind some woman. What else we going to jail for? Don't touch my car. It's a new thing in 18. Don't go into my. This is what the thing is. This is something how do just like you said, some ignorance, right? You can't even you can't even walk down the street in your own neighborhood and somebody parked their car and you walk by the car, and somebody jumping out the car talking about doing something to you for walking by their car. Don't go near my car. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is what they'll go to jail for that, right? I think about Martin Luther King took a bullet, right? On a balcony step for some sanitation workers. And look what you're going to jail for the neighborhood, for some dope, because I got to do what I got to do. Listen, I ain't no snitch. I ain't no punk. Think about that.
Exactly.
So like I said, I'm not going to keep you long because I'm going to let some other callers have a chance to say something. But let me leave it to you like this. Just like I said, and y'all marinate on this. Think about what our people went to jail for. Think about Mandela. He spent 27 years in jail. Yeah, brother, yeah, we angry. We supposed to be outraged. I ain't mad at you. Yeah, brother, yell it. Say it loud like James Brown. You know what I'm saying? That's what time it is. Mandela went to jail for 27 years to free South Africa. And look what you going to jail for.
Man, it seemed like America.
You going to jail for a neighborhood. You going to jail for a red and blue flag. Look what you going to jail for.
You're right. And then it's a neighborhood you're renting. You don't even own nothing in it. You know what I'm saying? I remember being young on the block doing my thing. I quickly tell somebody, don't come on my block with that bullshit. But I ain't own nothing on the block.
Right, exactly.
I ain't own nothing.
And your name ain't on the block.
Over it.
And your name ain't on the block.
Over it.
Look what you look. Yo, I got a joke, right? You dying over 86th Street. You don't own 86th Street. You don't own a damn house on 86th Street. You live in a damn project, and you're eating flop, and you're eating pork ribs, and you. What the hell? What you talking about?
Hey, I want to thank you for calling, man.
All right, I'm going to let you go. My bad.
Keep
listening. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
Yeah, but I love
you,
man. I keep listening, brother. Hey, I support you, brother.
Man.
I talk about you on Facebook and everything. I always holler at you. I let everybody know about your show. You know what I'm saying?
Because
you keep it real. You keep it real. You don't preach. You teach. That's what time it is.
Man, the universe showed me a vision, and I ain't like the way it looked. Mm-hmm. So I had to start doing something, man. The next 100 years, it ain't going to be good unless somebody step up and do something. I was born and raised in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I read a hell of a lot, and I read about myself a lot because I like to know what's coming. And when you read about yourself, you find out everything that's happening already happened. It just happened in a different way. You know, let's get to the next caller, big guy.
All right, my brother. Love you, man. Keep it going,
love you
man.
Too, man.
All right, peace.
Keep it real, man.
Keep
doing what you're doing
I'm
on your map. Team, man.
All right. Mouth, San Francisco.
San Francisco, my man. Give him some, y'all give him some shots out on his Facebook page. Let him know y'all like him. Hey, take it easy, big man.
All right, peace, my brother.
Peace, my brother. Hey, let me read something from y'all from the Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave. It's on page 14 and 15. I'm just going to read two sentences, all right? My man told him, train a female horse whereby she will eat out your hand, and she'll train an infant horse to eat out your hand too. And when it comes to breaking an uncivilized nigga, use the same process, but vary the degree and step up the pressure. so as to do a complete reversal of the mind. Take the meanest and most restless nigger, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining niggers, the female and the nigger infant, tar and feather him, tie each leg to a different horse facing opposite directions, set him afire, beat both horses to pull him apart in front of the remaining niggers. That's in the book I'm telling y'all to read. Tar, you train the nigger the same way you train the horse. You train the female nigger the same way you train the horse. You teach the female nigger to eat out your hand, she going to teach the kid niggers, the little niggers, to eat out your hand. You want to make the female nigger and the kid nigger scared of you and less scared of that black man? You tar and feather that black man, strip him of all his clothes, tar and feather him. You know how hot tar is? They're going to throw tar on my black ass, feather me. Then they're going to tie each one of my limbs to a horse, hit the horse, and in front of my wife, my kids, and my friends and everybody, tear my body apart. And you telling me you don't want to vote? Slavery was a vote in 1635. You say, how you know, Lincoln? Somebody asked me, how you know Lincoln slavery was a vote? How you know Lincoln slavery was a vote? Because I read about it. That's how I know. It's in Dr. Claw. It's in Claw Anderson book. It's in his book, Powernomics. It's in his book and the glossary page of Black Power and White Power. It's in the book. That's how I know slavery was a vote. They took the guns in early 1600s, and by the late 1600s, they had voted to enslave every black person in the colony. And you telling me you don't want to vote? I just read the teachings. Now think about the cops right now. Think about when the cops beat a black man in front of a crowd of other black people. If it's a child in that crowd, think of the fear that child get when he see a black man that could be his, that looked like his mom, his father, his uncle, his grandfather, getting beat by two white men in the middle of the street. And tell me what's the difference between tar, feather, and stripping all his limbs from his body in front of them. What's the difference? Ain't nobody going to jail for it. And you don't want to vote? Everything in America was a vote. Big dog, let me get that next call.
313-659.
Oh, you got a Detroiter on the line. What's up, big dog?
You came to that conclusion, bro. Like, I don't understand, like, how can people, like, film these goddamn videos and then don't want to help nobody and everything. Like, it's just too crazy, man. Like, for them to, like, film videos of a cop beating up a black person and stuff. Like, come on, man. At least help.
Duh. I guarantee you, if it was black cops beating on a white man in a white neighborhood, them white people would descend on them two black cops and beat the dog shit out of them. They wouldn't let that happen in their neighborhood again and again and again and again. They would go to the voting booths and vote their candidates in office to stop that, like black people
right.
did with the original Coleman Young. They voted him
right.
in to stop stress.
Right.
And stop that.
Right.
And he stopped it. He came in and he stopped all that.
Right.
I lived through part of his his mayorship. We ain't had that problem. But when the cop
right.
chased
I,
you, he chased you. He didn't just stop
right.
and shoot you. He chased you.
Right.
Go ahead, big dog, I'm listening.
Yeah, that just came to my conclusion right there, man. Like, I don't understand how these people can do that. Like, you up in there filming a video, I mean, and then it's going to be on the news later on and stuff. Like, I don't understand, like, why do you keep on doing that? Like, come on,
exactly.
Man.
And the only how to stop it is to vote in a district attorney of whatever black city you're in. I think like us. You vote in the mayor,
right.
that think like us. You vote in the chief of police, that think like us. You vote in the city council, that think like us. And then you change the constitution laws of the city so that if you don't go to high school in the city, you can't be a police in the city. Like Coleman Young had. If you ain't lived in Detroit,
right,
you couldn't be a police in Detroit. And that kept all the white people out. You didn't have all the kidnappings and all the girls coming up missing when all the white cops was in the city. But when the white cops came back in the city, and even now it's even worse. You got all the kids coming up missing.
Worse.
You got the women coming up missing. The men just don't. We gonna wear a dress or what? I mean, it's bad. It got bad because we have no morals. We don't have nobody to sit down and point to us and say, don't do that. He's lying. We all trying to get along with people. And for black people,
right,
we cannot get along. We have to understand we are different. We've been here for millions of years. Millions of years. If you read the complete works of black in the Bible by James
right.
H. Warden, he break it down from when it was only one landmass. He take it from that, pictures and everything. He teaches us. It was one landmass. The universe gave everything to us. When the landmass broke up, the black people who was on the land broke up the landmass. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't no big extra this or this. No, when the landmass broke up, we was already on North America, South America, Hawaii, Australia. We was already on that land. It just broke up. It ain't break up and we migrated to these lands. We was already here millions of years ago.
And that's what I mean when I say
exactly. Not knowing about us,
right,
it leads us to stupid things. And right now, just like the Woody Lynch letter, I just read what's in that book. The same thing happening right now.
Man,
let me get another caller, big man. Hey, tell everybody your name. Let them know who you are.
D True. I'm D True. I'm from Detroit. I'm 19 years old.
Oh my God! I'm glad to hear from a 19-year-older, man. I'm glad to hear from that, man. That let me know you're awake and you see what's going on. Find you a political community, man. Join the political community.
I see everything going on, man. I mean, I just keep on reading, man.
Yeah, hey, find some political action committee and join them, you know. That way you got ahead right now. You say you're 19. If you join the political action committee and ride them out, by the time you're 25 or so, you'll be ready to get elected somewhere. You've been rammed through all the levels of it. You know how it operates. You know how it runs. And then you can take your way of thinking, and you can be surrounded yourself with people that think like you. And a team can do anything, man. One person
right.
can only dream, but a team can make the dream come true.
True
feel
that,
me?
Man. Yeah.
All right, big guy. Hey, share this. Share my page with everybody and make sure you call in next Wednesday, same time, huh?
Okay. Hey, y'all go get my new album. It's called Blackish, 22 tracks, Spotify and all that. Go get it.
Hey, make sure you put it on my Facebook page and that's 100.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, post it on there. From there, I'm going to post it everywhere.
All right.
All right. Hey, let me get another caller in. Thanks for calling, big guy. Peace. Next caller,
480-239.
Who is this I'm talking with?
You speaking with Menace OBEasy. Menace OBEasy.
Menace OBEasy?
Yeah.
What's up, big guy? What you got to say on the subject? We're talking about voting.
Voting. The fact and the truth is, it's going to remain to be exactly what it is. People can vote, people can elect or whoever they want to elect, but still, the laws are still the way it is, and it's still going to go according if they want to keep their job. That's just like going to a regular 9-to-5. You sign a contract to do this job. Inside the contract, there's certain things that you have to do. Now, your people looking for you to look out for them and give them a job, because now you're the end man. But inside the contract, it told you got to do certain things and certain steps. Now, you talking about change. Change is not overnight. It goes with a contract and certain steps. Now, if we could continue to put our people in office, maybe a change can happen. But as long as we got one person going in, another person going out, there's not going to be a change. It's called forgetting science. So what happens is the letter of the law, which the first person that was coming in to change something, he put it up for change, but in, within the time factor, he had to do the last president's job that didn't even get to complete their job, and other jobs before that, before that, before that. So before the law becomes legislated, you everybody else is beyond grown, and everybody else is left and went somewhere else and forgot about the whole thing of this common day. We had more than one person that went for president. That's the saddest thing that people say, though. The first black president was Barack Obama, which it was the first black president you see on a $2 bill. So the whole thing is we too busy searching to be a part of something instead of having and controlling our own. And that's the whole biggest thing. And then as soon as you go to get your own, it's always a handout here and there and there. Oh, if he don't want to give me a handout, F him later for this. First and foremost, you got to fix yourself. You can't do nothing until you fix yourself. Govern yourself and then think about helping govern everything else.
So you're saying that Jefferson was the first black president?
Excuse me?
Jefferson is on the $2 bill.
I ain't say Jefferson. You look on the back of the $2 bill, you don't know who the first black person is?
Are you talking about John Hanson?
George Washington. I'm saying his name is John Hanson. You didn't know that?
Right.
I wouldn't have said
Jefferson.
Yeah,
I knew that.
Jefferson cleared it. So why would you say Jefferson?
Because you said it was on a $2 bill.
All
Jefferson
right,
is the face of a $2
bill. And you see the Constitution being signed, and the House of Representatives, the amendments is being signed, then you don't see a black face in the middle of that crowd, only one of them?
Yeah,
the
you ain't said it. You ain't said the back of it, man. I'm looking at a $2 bill.
That's right, man. You're right.
You okay.
But, I got you. Now, listen right quick. So every 2 years, we vote for the Senate and the House of Legislation. Every 4 years, we vote for presidents, governors, and mayors. So if you don't think every 2 years.
I guess you didn't hear exactly what I said. Everybody worrying about some position and worrying about a power move, which ain't never going to happen until each person fix themselves. Everybody talking about gay this and this, that, and the third. But guess what? Them people got their stuff together. Guess what? You could say gay this and you disbob and don't like gay this, but guess what? They got their stuff together. They people march. They people make sure if somebody disrespect one of them, they make sure. Look what they did to Buju Banton.
They made sure they get their people in office.
Okay.
They
so
make sure they vote for
their
people in office. So at the end of the day, if
black
people don't get out and vote for our people every 2 years, we will not have people in office. You can't just keep saying that the vote don't count.
Bruh.
Period.
Bruh, I'm telling you the truth.
Black people
man.
Have to
you
vote every 2 years.
About how old are you?
Every 2 years.
And
every
anyway,
2 years. The president do not. The president is nothing.
Make the decision at the bottom line. So really, your
the president. But you keep talking about the president, big man. I understand what you're saying. I understand it. I promise you, I do. But listen. But let me speak for a minute.
Saying instead of just talk. You can't be an old caller just talking, bro.
I listen to you, but now I'm trying to talk and you don't want me to talk. So thanks for calling. Hey, next caller,
and
please.
You asked the mad people about a question that you ain't really informed about.
Next caller, please.
Bro, don't get mad because you don't know I have the proper science.
Big dog, you don't understand
I
what I'm saying.
I am the big
You don't think that midterm voting is important. You don't think that midterm voting is important,
bruh,
right?
I've just told you how many times. First and foremost,
you keep talking about the president.
what you need
you
to worry
about. You
keep
talking about the president.
How many kids you got?
You off the mark,
man. How many baby moms you got? How many baby moms you got?
Hey, that's none of your business, big man.
Yeah, that's a part of the whole changing of the whole development structure. Now, if we can't formalize and fix ourselves and be married to our spouses instead of making baby mama,
Hey, you pushing the competitor's message. Thanks for calling, please. Let me get the next caller, please.
We just got listeners right now.
All right, I'm going to keep talking. Hang my man up. Hey, everybody, if you've been listening since the beginning of this, it's all about voting. We vote every 2 years. If you want to call and talk about it, call. We vote every 2 years. The president is only one person. The Senate is everything. You don't believe me? Remember Barack Obama. After 2010, when the Republicans took over the Senate and the House, Barack Obama couldn't get not one bill passed. Why? Because he has no power to write and pass a law. He only has executive authority, and that is nothing. You've seen Trump came in and got rid of all that executive stuff. The real vote is in the Congress and the House of Representatives. Same thing. We vote every 2 years. If you get out and vote like we voted in 2008, every 2 years for a black person, for a Democrat, we can get rid of all Republicans within 8 years, 4 voting cycles. Let's not concentrate on the person we vote for every 4 years unless it's the mayor or a governor. When you come to the federal government and the state government, make sure you vote every 2 years because you want to get all the racist senators and House of Representatives members out of office. And we do that every 2 years. They only serve 3-year terms. So every 2 years, a bunch of them is getting up to vote to get in or to stay in or to get out. Now, my man, I understood his point. I understood his point to the fullest amount, but he kept repeating himself. And then he started pushing the competitor's message. Get yourself together. Get this together. Nah, big homie, we got to get into office in order to get us together. So the first thing we got to do is unite on the vote. Every other group that depended on putting their politicians in office to write laws and to stop laws that was getting passed against them. The Irish did it. The Jews did it. The Asians did it. The Latinos doing it right now. The gay people done did it. Women done did it. So, black man, don't sit up here and tell me it can't be done because I've researched it and it's been done before. Simple as that, man. I'm not trying to say my man was wrong at all, but if you don't understand midterm voting, if you don't understand the Senate and the House, then how are you going to put anybody in office to help? Them are the offices that matter. Yeah, the presidency, that matter. But if I got more Democrats in the Senate and more Democrats in the House of Representatives than Republicans, it don't matter if it's a Republican president. All he can do is write executive orders. Because in the Senate, we make laws in the Senate. In the House, we make laws in the House. Them two houses right there, sitting in the House of Representatives. So, yeah, I want to make sure I got enough black people and enough Democrats in the Senate of my state. I want the entire state of Michigan to be majority Democrat in the Senate and a majority Democrat in the House of Representatives. That's how we get shit done. I want the federal government to be majority black and Democrats in the Senate and majority black and Democrats in the House of Representatives. That's how we get shit done as the black people. You can't get nothing done marching and pleading. I'm a boycott target, but I don't got no place to send the customers. If I'm a boycott target, I'm going to have another black business that sort of like or just like Target to send all the customers to. That's how we boycotted 2018. We just don't boycott them for a week or two and then go back to doing business with them. They ain't about to change nothing. They just going to do it in a different manner. It's ways and it's systems. And we got to stop thinking like the civil rights movement in the 70s. They did that. We got to advance that to new ways of doing things. And the first way you show us, we show each other that we understand what everybody is bitching about when it comes to black people is the vote. I will stand out in the rain for 2 to 3 hours to vote. Because I know the rain. Martin Luther King told me that. I know the rain. I take a shower every day. I know what water feels like. So I'm going to stand out there for 2-3 hours to vote. Because I know what water feels like. It's sun out here. I know what it means to being hot. I'm going to pop an umbrella to block the sun. And I'm going to stand out here for 2-3 hours. Because I know what heat feels like. I know what that feels like. Because I know in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, my ancestors had to deal with people throwing bottles at them, spitting on them, throwing tomatoes and all types of stuff at them, beating them up, putting the dogs on them just while they was voting, standing in line to vote. And they did all that just so I don't have to. So who am I to say if I can't vote in less than 30 minutes, I'm not going to vote? Or my vote don't count because I don't understand the Senate or how the House a legislation move. I don't understand how to vote. And that's the problem with black people. We don't understand how to vote and what's the real and why we vote. We vote for the Senate and the House legislation every 2 years. Every 2 years. And within those 2 years come 4 years and we vote for a president, a governor, or a mayor. But every 2 years we vote. We don't vote. Stop trying to say I'm only going to vote every 4 years. No, we vote every 2 years. And if we commit ourselves to voting every 2 years, then we can see change within 8 to 10 years. We can see how our vote changed things, how we got out all the racist Republicans, because we showed up to vote every 2 years like it was a black man voting for, like Barack Obama was trying to get back to be the presidency. Every 2 years, we came out and voted. And if it was a black man or woman, we voted for them. We voted for the Democrat if it wasn't. We vote every 2 years. Big man, do I got any callers? Anybody want to do a shout-out?
Just listening still.
All right, but I don't understand it. You see what I'm saying? And I don't mean to ruffle anybody's feathers, but at the end of the day, I've read enough to know the majority of the things we talk about is not our message at all. To think that we got to get ourselves together before we vote, and to think that it's our fault that the CIA and other intelligence agencies put drugs in our neighborhood, to think that it's our fault that they took all the factories out of our neighborhoods and put them in the suburbs, to think that is our fault is to say we've been running the government for the last 400 years. What's our fault is not voting every 2 years and having a plan and putting people in office that think black people first. Because at this moment, when a Latino get in office, they think Latinos first. When an Irish man get in office, he think Irish first. When a Jew get in office, he think Jew first. When a Jewish person get in office, he think Jewish first. When an Asian get in office, he think Asian first. When a Muslim get in office, he think Muslim first. So why shouldn't a black man get in office and think black people first? So the presidency is important, but like I've tried to explain to the last caller, it's not as important as he think it is. And he want to say this and that, but I was trying to prove the point, and he ain't want to hear it. I hope he called back next week. and got the patience to hear my side. Voting is important. That's all. I can't put nothing else in your face about that, man. And certain things ain't really worth talking about or thinking about other than what's in front of us and what the future gonna be. You know what I'm saying? I think my time is about up. Yeah, my time is about up. So I'm going to holler at y'all tomorrow. I mean, next week. And remember, man.
Go by Melanin by Later Africa. Go by the Willie Lynch letter and Making of a Slave so we can have something to talk about so you can understand my way of thinking. And until then, be safe, brothers and sisters. And remember, niggas don't kill niggas, man. Peace. I'm out. Go vote.
Later, baby.
This is the Next 100 and Block Radio. Y'all have a nice one. Take me out.